Okay. I'm going to call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that the time is currently 2:32 p.m. on Friday, April 23rd, 2021. Present today, we've got Representative Thompson, Representative LeBon, Vice Chair Ortiz, Representative Josephson, Representative Johnson, myself, Co-Chair Foster. I believe we might have some folks online. Yes, we do. I see that we also have online Representative Merrick, Representative Rasmussen, Representative Wool, and I believe Representative Edgman should be online or also will be online shortly. So with that, just a reminder, if folks could mute their cell phones. And at this meeting, the committee will be adopting the working draft for committee substitutes, House Bill 69, and that is the FY22 operating budget, and also House Bill 71, which is the FY22 mental health budget. And so once we get the motion, then I will object and we can get an explanation from Mr. Anderson. So with that, I'd like to entertain a motion, Representative Ortiz.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move that the House Finance Committee adopt committee substitute for House Bill 69, Work Draft 32-GH1509/N, dated 4/22/21, as our working document.
Thank you, and I will object for the purposes of an explanation. And we have both Brody Anderson as well as Kelly Cunningham from Ledge Finance. They'll be available once the explanation is given by Mr. Anderson. They'll be both available to answer any questions. So with that, maybe if you could both put yourselves on the record, and then Mr. Anderson, if you can proceed in explaining the first bill, which is the operating budget, HB 69.
Kelly Cunningham with Legislative Finance.
Brody Anderson, staff to Representative Foster.
Great. And Mr. Anderson, which document should we have before us? We have a number of documents here. I don't know if you want us to go to the bill itself, or do you have any summary that you'd like us to refer to first?
Co-Chair Foster, I will be, I'll do a roll up at first, just describing some of the overviews of the fund sources. The best document for that will be the document that is titled HB 69, All Funds.
HB 69, All Funds. Let's see here.
And it's a Legislative Finance Division report.
Okay, maybe give us a moment here.
Through the chair, it would be two pages.
It looks like it's at the bottom of all of the smaller documents that we have. HB 69, All Funds.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And as we change...
Bottom of the... There was a packet of individual smaller packets.
HB 69, All Funds.
Uh-huh. There you go.
And as we change, Mr. Chairman, I will give reference to the document that I will move over to at that time.
Sounds good.
The figures that I'm about to provide can be found on the second page for all funds, and also from the first page as well. There will be, when we come to the UGF factor, there also will be a little bit of a discrepancy, just because on the second page there is a reference to a PFD on that second page for your all funds total roll up. The best case to find your UGF will be on the document that's listed 69 UGF funds, which is also another two pager.
And that one looks like it's at the top of the Ledge Finance reports at the top of the stack.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Before the committee today is the committee substitute for House Bill 69 that reflects all of the actions of the subcommittees, changes made to the language sections compared to the committee substitute that was introduced on March 9th, referenced as version I, and the inclusion of the funds made available through the American Rescue Plan Act, referenced as ARP funding. For FY22, the House Finance Committee substitute reflects an agency operations, which is the more of the day-to-day state government, a total budget of $9.3 billion, and then for statewide, $714 million in statewide items, which also includes things like debt service, retirement payments, fund capitalizations, transfers. This includes the following funds for those totals. $3.4 billion in federal.
I'm sorry, Mr. Anderson, so you're referring to HB 69 all funds. Which column are you looking at?
That would be on the second page, Mr. Chairman. Down towards where it has funding summary about the first quarter of the page down. You have funding summary, unrestricted general funds, designated funds, other funds, and federal funds. Oh, and then the column that we were referring to would be column six.
Column six, thank you.
So $3.4 billion in federal, $868.3 in designated general funds, or DGF, $1.58 in other funds, which includes things like corporate receipts for ADA, HFC, aerospace, interagency receipts, and airport receipts. And then finally, a $4.16 billion in unrestricted general funds. That means that compared to the FY21 management plan, the FY22 budget of unrestricted general fund spends in agency operations and statewide reflects a decrease of $291.8 million, or a 6.5% decrease from FY21's management plan.
Mr. Anderson? Yeah, I'm seeing a management plan compared to House CS1 under column, after that column six, you have the six minus one.
Right. Mr. Chairman, for those comparisons, if I can get the members to review HB 69 UGF all funds. And on that first page, down towards the bottom, we have agency, total agency and statewide operations. There's a single line that stretches across the page. Mm-hmm. Then when you review columns six compared to one, FY21 management plan to HSS1, mm-hmm. down at the bottom, you will see the comparison there of for UGF. We have a $291.7 million difference or decrease, for a negative 6.5%.
So I'm looking at the HB 69 all funds. I'm looking at the bottom of the page, and I guess we're trying to find that number here. You said it's not in.
Mr. Chairman, if I could direct the members to the HB 69 UGF funds.
UGF funds. So we were on all funds, but we're now on UGF funds. Okay, I see that. That's very clear on page one under the six minus one column.
Proceed. So staying on this same document, if we jump over to six compared to column two, that will be your adjusted base to House Committee Substitute version one. And you see there that according to adjusted base for UGF funds, we are down 197.5, or rounding up to negative 197.6 million of UGF, which is a 4.5% decrease from adjusted base.
Okay.
I will also get into some of the more details of the budget now. We also have incorporated both the operating and capital items from the supplemental bills and added supplemental items to the FY21 budget. This was done for the following reasons. Because of the relationship of FY22's budget to this year's FY22 budget, there were very few capital budget items added last year's budget due to the shortness of session. There were further additions and changes to items relating to CARES and other COVID funding, like Carissa's enactment, and also the availability of funds through ARP and for both FY21 and FY22 budgets. So getting those documents prepared to take a look at, if the members could find the documents that say HB 69 op budget. So it would be HB 69 sup op budget UGF.
Can you hold that document up just so we can see what it looks like?
Well, it's thin, and it's, it says across the top what again, Mr. Anderson?
HB 69 sup op budget UGF. You'll also need HB 69 sup op all funds. And that is, all funds should be two pages as well. You'll also need HB 69 sup capital UGF, which is a single page.
Okay.
And then you'll also need HB 69 sup capital all funds. Mr. Chairman, I'll be jumping around a little bit between these documents, and I'll try not.
Yeah, if you could, maybe once when you do make the jumps, if you could just let us know.
We will begin with the HB 69 sup op all funds. Starting on the first page, in the operating budget supplemental, we have an agency operations spend in column, and this will be in column four. 1,069,930,000 In statewide items, we have 151 million. And so for a total of 1,221.3 billion. That is broken up into the following fund sources found on page two. Column four, with all the supplemental items added, you can see that for unrestricted general funds, we actually have reduced our FY21's budget by $161.6 million. We have reduced DGF by $1 million. We have added $123 million in other funds, and we've added $1.3 billion of federal funds for the supplemental operating budget. In the capital budget, if I could refer members to the single page document, HB 69 sup capital, all funds. You will see that the total for the capital budget for the supplemental is $315.6 million. And that is broken up into the following fund sources found below: $9.4 million in unrestricted general funds, $11.3 million in DGF, $13 million in other funds, and $281.9 million of federal funds. Mr. Co-Chair, that's the grand totals for both the FY22 operating budget and the additions of the FY21 capital budget. Next, I'd like to direct members' attention to the documents in front of you. There'll be two that we'll reference from here. The first one is called the ARP CARISA comparison of HB 69 version N to HB 181. As well as the operating budget FY21 supplemental. Mr. Chairman, the first document before you is the ARP/CARISA comparison of HB 69. The first page is made up of the items that has been referred to this committee as the limited flexibility items or the pass-throughs that have been dictated by Treasury and have need to pass through the budget in order to be disseminated, and those are listed below. The columns that you read are the item numbers that will be found in your budget in various locations. The two section numbers on where they can be found in HB 69 version N, and then where they were if they existed in House Bill 181, which was the governor's ARP bill. The amounts that were identified, whether or not we had amounts for us versus what maybe was identified in the governor's bill. And then finally, the time frame in which HB 69 authorizes these appropriations versus the recommendations that maybe were in HB 181. That is your first page. Your second page, which has been known as the CSLRF or the SLRF, which is Community State Local Fiscal Relief Fund. COVID State Local Fiscal Relief Fund. These are your flexible items, which is referred to as the $1 billion. This bill breaks up the appropriations of that $1 billion into a split of 70-30, where we are spending 70% of it in FY21 and 22, and then reserving 30% for the following fiscal year. And the amounts and locations that we have designated that $700 million is as follows. In section 18, you would find a $6 million appropriation to stretch from FY21 through FY24 for the domestic violence and sexual assault grants, which is known as VOCA during public testimony. You have FY22's fund source changes, or what we have revenue replacements in the numbers section. We were replacing approximately $83 million in FY22. We have in FY22's revenue replacement in debt service, we have identified in section 45 that there was $91.95 million that we could swap UGF out for the ARP funding in FY22. We also identified in FY21, we've identified fund source changes for revenue replacement in section 4. Of $235 million in FY21. We also, in FY21, revenue replacement for shared taxes in the commercial vessel passenger tax. In section 25C, we've replaced $21.2 million of lost tax revenue. In FY22, we did the same thing in section 52H for 21.2 as well, since this year's cruise ships probably will not be traveling. Then we also did FY22 revenue replacement for shared fishery business tax in 52I, which is for $2.1 million for the fish year of FY22. We also identified a program for grants to small businesses to offset revenue loss in Section 7 for a sum of $30 million. Starting in FY21, this is identified as a capital project. Grants to local governments to offset lost revenue that they might have occurred in Section 7 for $80 million. That's also an FY21 cap request. Grants to nonprofits to offset revenue loss for nonprofits is $30 million starting in FY21. Tourism promotion funding to ARDRs in Section 7 for $20 million starting in FY21. And finally, a allocation for the Alaska Tourism Industry Association found in Section 7 of $10 million starting in FY21. Those are your, what you would call your SLRF. Mr. Co-Chair, that's the roll-up of the ARP and CARISA funding, as well as some other changes that we will address later on in the language section for CARISA. All other supplemental items are found in your larger document of the operating budget supplementals. This is a breakdown. Mine's a little bit larger. This is the document that breaks down all supplemental items, whether they're CARISA or ARP or others, and then there are also all the governor's items. And if it's the will of the committee, we could walk through the entire packet of all supplemental items if the committee wishes.
There's quite a few items here on going through a line by line, but I don't know that we need to do that unless folks would like to. But if you could just give us maybe a summary. I believe the governor had proposed between both his initial amendment packet for the supplementals as well as the supplementals he came with later. The total on those was approximately how much? I want to say it was around $62 million. And then on top of what we took with regard to the governor's supplementals, maybe if you could just touch on what we did not accept first, and then also anything that we've added, for example, community assistance and so forth. If you could just give kind of the high level on that. And then if anyone has any specific questions, we can go to line items as well.
Through the chair, if I could reference, if the members could reference HB 69, SUP, OP, all funds again.
So, okay, maybe give us a second here. HB 69, SUP, all funds.
SUP, OP, all funds, is that what you said?
That's correct, SUP, through the
OP,
chair.
All funds, okay. Maybe we might need a minute here. We've got quite a few pages here. SUP, OP, all funds.
We did, it was referenced to the chair, it was referenced as well. HB 69, SUP OP, all funds. It's a two-page document.
Were you able to find yours? Okay. Looks like we're good to go.
If you, if I could direct the member's attention to column one. Column one was the governor's supplement request without the addition of HB 181 so this would be the governor's supplemental request prior to the rollout of the ARP funding bill. And you see just in the operating budget alone, he had requested $304 million worth of agency operations and $21.9 million in supplemental items in statewide for a total request of $326.3 million of items. And then coming over to, and then if you look at, so that was the governor's original request for supplemental items outside the scope of the ARP funding. And then also, if I could direct the members' attention to HB 69 SUP Capital, all funds. It's a single page.
Single page.
You will notice that the governor had asked in column one for statewide capital project items, a total of $165.68 million. And that would be your, that was his pre, those are his supplemental requests before the addition of the capital. I don't have a comparison, obviously, of what our sup items would be excluding the ARP and Carissa and the SLRF funds, but I could have provided that to the committee at a later time in another report. Mr. Chairman, if we're ready to move on to the number section of actual of HB 69?
Yes, go ahead.
The number section of the committee substitute reflects all actions of the subcommittees except for the CS includes some additional changes that were made. The additions already mentioned would be the ARP and COVID funding. Then also in Department of Administration, we accepted all of the governor's procurement consolidations. The CS also reflects public broadcasting, including radio, TV, and the commission be restored to the FY19 levels of funding. In Department of Education, there's an increment add to the library operations that the increment allows for the continuation of the Alaska's statewide online library system, including statewide library electronic doorway known as SLED.
And Mr. Anderson, just to be sure, I think we're all kind of looking at papers, and just to be clear, I don't think you've got a summary that you provided to us that you're reading from. This is just the budget itself, correct? You're just calling out highlights, is that correct?
That is, through the chair, that is correct.
Okay, thank you. Representative Ortiz?
And just to be clear, you're speaking about the document labeled 32GH1509/N?
That is correct, through the chair. Continuing on with the Department of Education, that was known as SLED, and also the Alaska Library Catalog, and that is funded through the Higher Education Investment Fund. There was a technical change with the department, with Mount Edgecombe's carry forward authority, removing the estimated to be figure, and now it references just the statutory authority in which the calculation is made. This is with an alignment with the declaration bill. If the bill is passed, this will allow for the conforming of any additional funds that could be made available. In the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, a grant was added to named recipients for the maintenance of the Kuskokwim Ice Road. In Department of Law, the Janus structure was created as a second civil appropriation for legal contracts relating to the interpretation of Janus versus AFSCME decision. In Department of Revenue, there were two new tax auditors added. In the Department of Transportation, the CS accepts all of the governor's lease consolidation. It moved all of the Alaska Marine Highway System, which includes all funds, including the Carissa funding, from the numbers section to the language section, which we will address later. There are also other fund changes in DOT as well. With so many supplemental items, legislative finance separated the supplemental sections from non-supplemental sections. So when compared to previous versions, you'll notice many items have been moved and now are designated as supplemental items starting in the language section. So when you actually turn to the bill, starting on page 68 of the actual bill. You will notice that many items have been listed as supplemental items. We've already referenced most of those, and those are also found on this document as well. But there are two items that are not listed on that document that should be addressed. There's the RPL language. This is the CS now reflects the language that is currently used in the disaster declaration bill in the other body, limiting the governor's RPL authority for all COVID-related federal authority, and includes the potential future infrastructure and employment legislation currently being discussed in Congress. This same language applies to the language section later in what would be section 46 of this bill. The supplemental also includes a labor contract that was not included in last year's budget and was part of the governor's fast track bill. Finally, Mr. Chairman, when reviewing this document, you'll notice if you look at the totals versus your reports that are in front of you for the supplemental, you would notice a $2,300 difference. That difference is because of an unaccounted for the blood bank that is correct in your reports was accidentally omitted from the calculations on your document here. So we will be fixing that and providing that updated correction to members when we get it finished. Moving on to the language section of the bill. I will walk the members through the language section of the governor's items that were in a previous version that are no longer in this bill. The CS removed open-ended receipt authority for employment training. It removes the reappropriation for fire suppression preparedness. This will be an item that will be reflected in the capital budget. The CS changes the way the disaster relief fund is capitalized. The governor had utilized lapsing funds that were directly funded by the CBR, which would have required a three-quarter vote. Instead, the CS just uses $30 million of UGF in FY21. It removed the portion of the language section related to funding the BSA formula and pupil transport for education, since that was already passed in another piece of legislation. It removed the $35 million governor request for Medicaid reappropriation of lapsing funds. And it removed the receipt and federal authority related to AGDC's Alaska Liquefied and Natural Gas Project Fund. Moving on to actual language sections that are before the members, if you could turn in your bill to section 30G. Section 30, subsection G, starting on page 77 and going through page 78, lines 31 through 5. This extends an RPL that was for HFC. This was approved in January, and this just extends that RPL to continue on with the program. Section on page 78, line 6, section 31. This changes the amount of the ADA dividend. It was $14.4 million. Now it reflects $17.3 million to reflect the proper amount of the ADA dividend. Page 81. Page 81, line 5, section 34H. This is an extension of an RPL for local communities to FY22. And the reasoning is the federal government has extended the time frame on which these could be used. It is estimated to be zero, but it was a request for the extension of the time frame. Saying on page 81, line 14, In corrections, this replaces language related to the mandate billing, allowing for carry forward of federal receipts. Starting on page 82. Line 6, section 36D adds $5 million for pre-K. Page 84. And this will be, this is page 84, starting at line 22, and actually going all the way to page 87, stopping at line 4. This will be sections 41B through K. This is the portion that was moved from the number section that authorizes all funds, including CARISA's FTA and FHWA funds, for implementing an 18-month funding plan that will allow the Marine Highway to change their scheduled release to a calendar year from a fiscal year, with the certainty of funding going forward. Staying on page 87, line 14, section 41M, this is $6 million of CARISA funds for the Inter-Island Ferry Authority. They experienced heavy losses due to the pandemic, and if they were to go bankrupt and failed, the Alaska Marine Highway System would need to absorb all of these responsibilities that they currently have. Staying on page 87, line 29, sections 42C, this adds $950,000 to cover the cost to elections for implementing the new redistricting plan that is forthcoming. Page 88, line 1, section 43. This adds $20 million of receipt authority for the university if the current amount of university receipt is not enough. Turning to page 93. Page 93, line 13 through 23, sections 45M. This is school bond debt, and this is funded at 100% at $83.5 million. That $83.5 million comes, $30.8 comes from the school fund, and $52.7 million comes from a reappropriation of FY21 lapsing Medicaid funds. And because of the use of the reappropriation in the CS, it also includes UGF backstop just in case funds are not available. Page 95. And this will go from page 95, line 29, through page 96, line 1. Sections 47, G and H. This is the Community Assistance Fund, which is funded from FY21 and FY22, is capitalized at $90 million. So the payment distribution to the communities will be fully funded. Page 96, lines 2 through 12, which is sections 47I through J. This is the REAA fund, which is also capitalized at 100% for $34.2 million. It also utilizes the Medicaid lapsing funds and also includes the UGF backstop. Turning to page 97, line 20, section 47T. The CS reflects $60 million in oil tax credit purchases utilizing the ADA funds like the governor's original request. The CS removes the reference to the statutory formula referenced in a previous version. Page 99. line 28, which is section 48L. This changes the gambling tax estimate to be zero, and it changes the deposit of the funds of zero to the general fund. It was, in the previous versions, it was the capital income fund. Page 99, line, starting at line 31 and going to page 100, ending at line 2, section 48M. This was a request by the governor for repaying the higher education fund for WAMI loans. Staying on page 100, line 3, section 49L. Just 49. I had a typo. The CS adds $1 million and extends the appropriation for another year to FY23 for the redistricting board. Page 103, line 27, section 52F. This updated the commercial vessel passenger shared tax estimate to reflect the spring forecast. Page 103, line 27, section 52F. And it updated the commercial vessel passenger shared tax estimate, which reflects the zero there because of the spring forecast reflected zero. This will be addressed in what we had previously talked about in the SLRF. We do designate funds to replace that zero, but that is in the SLRF portion of the bill. Believe it or not, Mr. Chairman, those are the significant changes throughout the language section. The bill also has various technical and conforming changes as well. Since reviewing the CS, though, we've identified some issues with effective dates that will need to be addressed at a later time, most likely through a technical amendment through the amendment process. But Mr. Chairman, that concludes the walkthrough.
Okay. Thank you. Does the committee have any questions? I realize we've got the extra challenge this year of not just having our regular budgets, which I think was fairly straightforward when the governor introduced it, but with the introduction of the American Rescue Plan Act funds, I think it's made comparisons more difficult. You know, not only have we added funds, but we've replaced UGF funds in some places, and so it's made things a little more complicated. It's a little harder to compare year over to year in some instances, but I would encourage folks, if you have any questions, my staff, Brody Anderson's available for questions as we move forward with this process, as well as Ledge Legal, or Ledge Finance. But with that, and we have a question from Representative LeBon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Anderson, for the summary. On the one of the very first reports you covered was the ARP / CRRSA CRISA comparison. And my question is, on the second page of this report, under the flexible items, we heard in public testimony quite a bit of feedback regarding domestic violence and sexual assault funding. Is that $6 million allocation to try to fill that that reduction in federal funding?
Through the chair, Representative, that is correct. What we heard a lot during public testimony was the term VOCA and the VOCA reductions. That $6 million is the replacement funds that were utilized, and the governor even recognized that reduction in his 181 as well. And so this is a that replacement of funds to try to make those grantees whole.
Thank you.
Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Mr. Anderson, I recall that in the original supplemental request from the governor, there was a $6 million request for the Alaska Marine Highway System due to not receiving any fares because the ships didn't sail. Where did that money end up going in order to meet that request? Where can we find that?
Through the chair, representative, that is still a hole that will be required to be filled, possibly through the amendment process. It is still unaddressed.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Josephson?
The chair, Mr. Anderson, the VOCA money that Representative LeBon mentioned, although it says time frame FY21 to 24, that is, if we were spending in the DVSA component the way we were, say, 5-6 years ago, that the amount would be around $6 million per fiscal year. Is that right?
I believe, through the chair, I believe that is correct.
So we shouldn't be misled that the time frame suggests that need is met. It might suggest that need is met for 3 years.
This would be a better question for Ms. Cunningham.
Ms. Cunningham?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, your question, if it was going to be just a one-time or annual fill, I believe that is around $1.4 million. This $6 million is more like a multi-year, through 21 through 24, so it's not bringing their annual funding up to the level it was 6 years ago, but it's giving them that funding for 3 years.
Maybe to add to the confusion, when folks were calling in, they were saying that they were shorted by the federal government unexpectedly $6 million, and then we later found out that it was actually $1.4 million from the Fed, and then the rest, which is 4.6 then, state funds that over the last few years have slowly deteriorated, and so the six was the amount that brings them up to full funding of the high watermark of state funding, as well as the lost funds for the Fed funds. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, I would have to get more information for you.
Okay. Representative Josephson?
Through the chair, Mr. Anderson, under the category of random questions, page 74, supplemental salary and benefit adjustments, is this something I should ask OMB about? And the question is partially exempt salaries. I'm told that they typically move upward when other salaries move upward, but they didn't this time. Do you know anything about that topic?
Through the chair, representative, just to clarify two points. Section 24, starting on page 74, and then going from lines 23 through page 75, ending at line 15. The only that is an SLA change of last year's budget, which only includes the Inland Boatmen's Union. There is a conversation I know possibly going with another labor contract of when their authorization, but that authorization is found in the authorizations later in the bill for FY22 related to public. Excuse me, if you can give me a minute to find it. In salary and benefit adjustments, starting on page 100. Under that section, you would find the designations of the... They would fall under item 4. On page 101, starting at line 4, in the Public Safety Employees Associate Representative Regularly Commissioned Public Safety Officers Unit, the question that you might be asking is related to that contract there and whether or not the increment that they might need to receive or not is found there.
Follow-up?
Follow-up. No, my focus wasn't on the PSEA contract. It was on information that our partially exempt workers were not joined in. Typically, they would travel, those increases would travel with, I don't know if it's the supervisor contracts, I don't recall, but essentially the PX were left out. And I can ask OMB about it.
Through the chair, that would, yes. OMB might be able to better clarify that.
Once we've got Neil here, do you want?
Sure, if it's fresh in the director's mind.
Okay. Mr. Steininger, if you can put yourself on the record.
For the record, Neil Steininger, Director, Office of Management and Budget. So I believe your question is how do exempt and partially exempt employees' salary schedules get updated?
Yes.
Yes. So the process by which that happens is those salary schedules are set in statute. So there has to be statutory change to adjust those salary schedules. So they don't move, the partially exempt salary schedule doesn't move with, you know, any other bargaining unit contract.
Okay.
Follow?
My understanding is that there has been adjustments made to COLAs. But I can talk to you about this off record as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any further questions? Looks like we don't. We'll move over to, I guess, adopting the CS and then over to the mental health budget. So if there are no further questions, I will remove my objection to the working draft. And are there any further objections? Hearing no objections, version N will become our working draft for HB 69. And so now we'll take up HB 71, which is the mental health budget. And Representative Ortiz, do we have a motion?
Mr. Co-Chair, I move that House Finance Committee adopt committee substitute for House Bill 71, work draft 32-GH1508/G, dated 4/22/21 as our working document.
Okay, and again, I'll object for the purposes of an explanation. Mr. Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The summary of changes, the majority of the changes are reflected in the operating budget, except for one document, which you will find in your packet, called HB 71 Mental Health Capital. And this is just an explanation. It just shows the totals for what each one of the capital, mental health capital projects are. But the majority of the changes to the mental health budget was changing fund sources back to the recommended and approved budget offered by the mental health authority trustees, swapping back the mental health trust reserves to the typical general fund mental health fund source and HFC funds. Those are the only major changes. There is one other change that occurs in the CS, which is we've removed one capital budget project, which is deferred maintenance. This is with the expectation that the Senate will add it back in, and this ensures that the mental health budget will also be conferenceable at the end of session. Mr. Chairman, those are the only changes made to the mental health budget.
Mr. Anderson, the total amount that the governor's budget had used in terms of mental health reserves was about $13 million, and so that's been replaced with UGF, correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. It was it was 13, and that has all been there was 13 in the operating and 3 in the capital for a total of 16, and all of that has been replaced back to the original recommendation from the board.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions on the mental health budget? I don't see any questions, so I will remove my objection. Are there any further objections on the mental health budget? And hearing none, we will adopt HB 71 as our work draft. Again, that is the officially 32GH1508/G, dated 4/22/21. So that will be our working document. And that is all I have, other than we had originally looked at wanting to schedule a amendment deadline for Monday at noon. We've since pushed that back to Monday, April 26th, 5 p.m. to give folks a little bit of time. We're hoping to take up amendments Tuesday morning, and then so anyway, do we have any questions regarding the amendments? Seeing none, again, if I know that there's a lot of information here, and if folks have any questions, feel free to pop into our office and either check in with Brody or Ledge Finance. With that, I have nothing else to come for the committee, and I don't see anything from anyone else. So with that, we will stand adjourned at 3:28 p.m. Thank you.